Romans chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. Not only this, Trinity Baptist, but we also exalt in our tribulation, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Don't you want this neighborhood to hear those words? Will you pray with me, please? Will you pray right now that God would open your heart and soften your heart and help you to understand these words? Maybe you've never heard these words before. Maybe you've heard them many times. Pray that God would help you to understand and believe the truth of these beautiful words. Just pray that God would help you right now. Pray for the people in front of you or behind you or to your left or to your right, that God would help them to understand and believe these beautiful words from Romans 5, 1 through 5. Pray for the people in this neighborhood, that we would have an opportunity to share these beautiful words with every single one living around this church. And now quickly pray for me, that I could deliver the message as Paul and the Holy Spirit intended it. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Have you ever suffered a broken relationship with someone? I'll bet you have. I'll bet every single person in this room has suffered the pain of a broken relationship. Perhaps a family member, a close friend, a coworker, or a neighbor, someone you love, someone you care for, someone that's walked with you, and the relationship is broken and you are heartbroken. Has anyone ever experienced that? It's heartbreaking. And added to the pain of that is if it's your fault. If you said something or you did something and it's your fault and the relationship is broken, that can be very heartbreaking. Isn't it incredibly wonderful? Isn't it great, incredibly joyful when that relationship is restored? When there is reconciliation, when there is forgiveness, and when the relationship is restored, isn't that a wonderful experience? Doesn't that make you happy? This is what has happened to us and God, Trinity Baptist. Our relationship with God was broken, and it was our fault. We are the guilty party, Trinity Baptist. But God did something wonderful. There was nothing we could do. And God knew that, but God did something wonderful. He took action. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to restore the relationship. And because of Jesus, everyone who is born again, Romans 5:1 says, is justified by faith. Justified means the relationship is restored. Justified means you and I are cleared of all charges against us. Justified means we are declared righteous in his sight because of Jesus. We have peace with God. Our relationship is restored. Look at Colossians behind me on the screen. Colossians 1:21-22. And although you and I were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he, Jesus, has now, look at that beautiful word, reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. That's what we are because of Jesus. You see, we've been reconciled to God. God is the judge. Now, if I come before a judge in Indio court and he clears me of all charges and pronounces me innocent, I can just walk away. But that judge and I, we aren't going to have any sort of a relationship. He doesn't care about me. He doesn't care about me. He pounds his gavel, and he says, "Not guilty, David Gordon." And I can walk out, and he doesn't care if I live or die. That is not God. God is the judge. And in Christ, all those who are born again have been declared righteous. He pounds his gavel and says, "Not guilty." But we are reconciled. The scripture said we have peace with God. Not only does the judge declare us not guilty, but he adopts us into his family. We have peace with God. Number one in your notes. Since we who are born again have been justified, and I've explained that to you, declared righteous, cleared of all charges, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God. We have been reconciled to him. Let me ask you a question. Some of you have been coming to this church for a few weeks. Some of you have been coming to this church for even longer. This may be your first time with us. Have you been reconciled to God? You see, it's not good enough just to come and sit in the pew and listen to the sermon. It's not good enough just to come to church every Sunday. Have you been born again? You've been listening to me preach week after week, and we're so glad you're here, and we want you to come Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. But let me ask you a question. You who have been listening to me week after week after week, have you been born again? Have you ever come up to the front and spoken to the elders and said, "I need a relationship with Jesus Christ. I need Jesus to come into my heart"? You've been hearing me talk about the grace of God and how great it is that we're forgiven and that we're going to heaven. Do you have a relationship with God? Are you going to heaven when you die? Please come up today. Make today the day. You've been listening to me preach for weeks now. Make today the day. Come up and talk to the elders and have a relationship with God. Maybe you're here and you say, "Pastor, I already have a relationship with God. I already put my faith in Jesus Christ. I already asked him to come into my heart. He's already changing my life." Have you been baptized? You see, baptism is your first act of obedience to Jesus Christ. It's your first one. Have you been baptized? Make today the day. Come up and talk to an elder and say, "Yeah, I believe what Pastor is saying. I believe in Jesus. I want to be a Christian. I need to be baptized." Come up and talk to an elder. And obey Jesus. Look at the verses again. chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. What if you're in a kingdom? We've all seen TV shows and movies where there's a king. We don't live in a land where there's a king, but you've seen movies and TV shows where there's a king. There's a king and a kingdom. And the king is in charge, right? And what if you were part of that kingdom and you did something really bad and you were banished from the kingdom? You were banished from the kingdom because of the bad thing that you did. You're banished. But the king loves you. And he does something amazing. He looks at his son, the prince, and he says, I want you to go get that person. And I want you to restore them. I want you to bring them back. And I want you to restore them. But then the king realizes that he can't do that because you have committed a great crime, and the king can't just ignore that crime. The king can't just say, forget it. Never mind. Don't worry about it. You're guilty. And the prince says, I tell you what, Dad. I'll take the punishment. I'll take the punishment. And the prince takes the punishment for your crime and then goes and gets you and says, it's okay, I paid the entire penalty for your crime. And the prince brings you back. And not only are you brought back into the kingdom, you're adopted into the king's family as his son or daughter. Amen. My dear friends, that is what Jesus has done for you. That's what Jesus has done for us. You see, every one of us were over here. We were under God's wrath because of the sins that we've committed. That was our status. That was our condition. That was where we are. But Jesus has brought us from under God's wrath to in God's grace. We stand in God's grace and his favor and his divine love and mercy because of what Jesus has done for us. Number two in your notes. Our Lord Jesus has taken us from being in God's wrath to being in God's grace. And you know what happens when the banished one is brought into the king's own family? What does that mean? It means he has an inheritance. He's a prince, or she is a princess. And there's an inheritance to go with that. And that's the situation that we're in, Trinity Baptist. Amen? We are God's children. And as God's children, we have a glorious future. We exalt in the hope of the glory of God. That's verse 2. We have a glorious future because of what Jesus has done for us. Because we are children of the King. But what about the present? We have a glorious future. But today, life is really hard, isn't it? Life is really hard. And I want to give you some hope at Christmas time. Not just hope for the future, but hope for the present. Look at the verse again. Verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. Not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Number 3 in your notes, Trinity Baptist, our tribulations give us reason to rejoice. Our tribulations give us reason to rejoice. Why? It's right there in the verse. Number four in your notes, tribulation brings about perseverance. Tribulation brings about perseverance. It's hard to live for Jesus here on earth. There are trials and tribulations that come when we decide to love and serve Jesus Christ. And maybe you're here today and you've made a decision to love Jesus and your parents don't like that. Or your family member doesn't like that. Or your decision to follow the Bible and your decision to follow Jesus is making life more difficult for you. I'm here to tell you that tribulation brings about perseverance. When I was in Central Asia, I met a young man who called himself Ahmed. That's not his real name. But he called himself Ahmed. And he'd been in prison for his faith. And he told me, straightforward, when you suffer for Jesus, you become a stronger Christian. And that's what the Bible says. The tribulations that we face, you may be here today and you're saying, I want to follow Jesus, but it's going to be hard. Yes, it is going to be hard. That's why we're here. That's why we need each other. But tribulations produce perseverance. The Bible says that over and over again because the Bible was written by persecuted Christians. Look at James 1, 2 through 4. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. There's the Apostle James saying the exact same thing. And let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. The writer of Hebrews says the same thing, 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, talking about all of the strong and beautiful brothers and sisters who have suffered for their faith throughout the past 2,000 years. Since they've all gone before us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangled us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Christian life is a race. And the suffering we go through as Christians gives us the endurance to finish. There's more benefits. There's more benefits from these tribulations that we face. Take a look at verse 3 again. Romans 5, 3. If you've got your Bible open, you don't ever need to close it from Romans 5. We're going to be there the whole time. Romans 5, 3, and not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character. That's number 5 in your notes. Perseverance brings about proven character. Perseverance brings about proven character. If you're camping, and I love camping, you don't necessarily want to drink the water that you come across. What is one way to make sure the water is safe when you're camping? Boil it. You boil it. And it's purified. Now, don't take that as camping advice because you might need to do a little more stuff. I don't want any of you to go out and say, oh, Pastor Dave says if I boil this, it's fine. It's not camping advice. I'm just preaching on the scripture. But if you boil it, it's fine. You and I are the same. You see, the heat purifies the water. And for you and I, the heat of trials and suffering purify our hearts. Perseverance brings about proven character. Number six in your notes. The struggles we face because of our decision to follow Christ make us better people. Keep a bookmark in Romans 5. I told you we'd never leave it, and we will go back to it. Keep a bookmark in Romans 5, and come with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3:5. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. It's because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them, but now you also put them all aside: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you've laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who's being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. These are things that we need to put aside. And the trials that we face as Christians clean these character flaws out. Look at verse 12. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. The trials we face as Christians make us better people. Number seven in your notes. We must get to the point where we would rather be free of sin than free of tribulation. Please pray about this, brothers. You and I struggle with this too, you and I must get to the point where the number one priority in our lives is to be holy. To have Christ clean the sin out of our hearts. And you and I have got to get to the point where we say, God, I do not want this sin in my heart. And if you need to bring trials and tribulations into my life to clean this sin out, then do it. In Christ, we must hate our sin. Go back to Romans 5, please. Romans 5:3. The benefits just keep coming. Romans 5:3. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. Hope. Brothers and sisters, the Christian life is the opposite of the world. Amen? The world lives for now. Have fun now. Get rich now. Get all the pleasure and joy you can out of life now, because now, without Christ, now is all you will ever get. This is all you'll ever get without Jesus. So, of course, live for now, because this is all you'll ever get. The Christian life is the opposite. We join Jesus because we choose eternal benefits, even if it costs us suffering down here. Because, brothers and sisters, this life is so very short. This life will soon be over. And whatever we suffer in this life because of Jesus is nothing compared to the glory we will face because of our decision to follow him. Paul says that in 1 Corinthians 15. Look behind me on the screen. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. The Christian life is a race of endurance to the glorious finish line. And suffering for Christ doesn't bring hopelessness. Suffering for Christ actually brings hope. Number 8 in your notes. Proven character brings hope. Proven character brings hope. Look at verse 5. This is so beautiful. Look at verse 5. And hope does not disappoint. I could stop right there. And hope does not disappoint. Have you ever seen a child at Christmas and they're hoping for a certain present and they don't get it? Maybe you were hoping for a raise at work and you didn't get it. You might have been promised a raise, or promised a job, or promised an apartment, and you didn't get it. Maybe a young man or a young woman promised you that they would love you, and they're gone. That's hope that disappoints. In Christ, when we hope in Christ, He does not disappoint us. Why? It says right there in the verse, and hope does not disappoint. Verse 5, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Hope in Christ does not disappoint because God has poured His love into your heart. I like football. And if you've been around, you know the team that I like, and I'm not even going to mention them. But you've all seen the Rose Bowl or the Cotton Bowl or the Super Bowl or the Festitos Bowl or whatever the bowls are now. You've all seen them where at the end of the game, the winning coach, what happens to him? Who said it? Michael Tyler, elder, exegeting the scriptures. Gatorade. He gets a Gatorade bath on his head. Wouldn't it look dumb if a team won the Super Bowl and all the players got together and they take a communion cup and they rush over to him and they say, "We won!" You would think, what is that? And they take a little dropper. We won! No, they douse that guy. They douse that guy. Look at the scriptures. Hope does not disappoint because God has poured His love into your heart. When you trusted Christ as Savior, God took the biggest, hugest, whatever, and just completely doused you with His love because He loves you. And He did it by giving you the Holy Spirit. He did it by giving you the Holy Spirit. That's number 9 in your notes. God has poured His love into your heart through the Holy Spirit. God has poured His love into your heart through the Holy Spirit. This is the greatest thing about being a Christian. Every single person who is born again has the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1, 13 says that behind me on the screen. In Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. I want you to see two words in that passage. Leave it up there, RG. I want you to see two words in that passage. One word is sealed, sealed, and the other word is pledge. Sealed and pledge. When you heard the gospel and you received it and you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? In Bible times, animals were sealed by the owner. It's a sign of ownership. The seal is a sign of ownership. If you fly somewhere, Jimmy, did you fly here? Okay, Jimmy and Karstina flew here. When they flew here, they put their luggage on the plane, correct? And they put a tag on that luggage. And if they were smart, that tag had their name on it. And what does that do? It keeps it secure because the luggage gets handled by a bunch of people and thrown everywhere and thrown here and there. It's on conveyor belts. It goes onto this car and this bus and this plane. And the tag says, "This is my luggage." It's a seal. It's a sign of ownership. Brothers and sisters, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And as you go through this life and you're jostled about by sin, by the world, by Satan and his demons, as you are tossed here and there with trials and tribulations and temptation and suffering and sickness and death, you're tagged. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, he put his Holy Spirit in you, and you are tagged, and that tag says, you belong to God. The other word I want you to see is pledge. Pledge. You were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who was given as a pledge. As a pledge. A pledge is a down payment. It's earnest money. You put money down and you promise to come back and pay the rest. This Greek word has been changed just a little bit. In modern Greek, it means an engagement ring. An engagement ring. And we all know what an engagement ring is, right? On October 8th, 1994, I put an engagement ring on 95. Oh. Let's sing the doxology. Praise God from... Well, all right. 95. On October 8th, 95, I put an engagement ring on her finger. What does that mean? It's a pledge to marry her. And when you trusted Jesus Christ, he put his engagement ring in your heart. And it's a guarantee that you have eternal life. Number 10 in your notes. The Holy Spirit is God's guarantee of our future eternal life. Romans 8:16-17 says this, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him." Brothers and sisters, Jesus is coming back. And everyone who has Christ in their hearts will have eternal life. And everyone who doesn't will not. It doesn't matter if you come to church every Sunday. It doesn't matter if you were baptized when you were a little baby and didn't understand what was happening. It doesn't matter what religious thing you have done. If you don't have Christ in your heart, when Jesus comes back, you will be left behind. If you're not born again, please come and talk to one of the elders.